A very warm welcome to you all this morning. It's good to see you here. Welcome to Gillingham Baptist Church. It's a lovely opportunity just for us to be together today. Welcome to those who are watching online as well. We're glad that you're able to be with us. We know we connect with a number of people while the service is happening, and then there's a whole host of people who capture the service later on as well. But it's Sunday, the sun is shining, we are delighted about that, and we're delighted to have you with us this morning as well, and trust that God will bless you as we meet together. The shape of our morning is that we're all together for the first half hour or so. Children will go to their own different groups after about half an hour, 35 minutes or so, and then we aim to finish creeping up to the sort of the 10 to 12, 5 to 12 mark. But thank you for coming today. My name is Stephen, I'm the minister here. You are very welcome. Sue is leading our opening worship for us, so I will hand over to Sue. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Hello. Morning, everyone. Oh, good. Good, good, good. Let's stand as we sing our first song, I Am a New Creation. There's some flags to wave down at the sides and upstairs as well. So if anybody wants to wave a little banner, it doesn't have to be a child. You can be an adult to be doing that as well. It's a really good way to praise the Lord with our whole bodies. So we're going to sing the next song, Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness, in E flat.
The King of Glory, the King of Glory.
Father God, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Everything that you've done in your Bible, in creation, everything you've done in our lives as individuals, as a church, even as a nation. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that you care for every one of us equally. No matter what we've done, you still care for us. No matter what we'll be, you still care for us. Thank you so much, Lord God, that we have all your promises. All your promises are yes and amen. You will see it through. Thank you, Father God. Praise your name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
Do sit down.
Thank you very much, Sue, for that. Thank you. We have been showing over the summer, we've been showing different group activities, things that have been happening during the week in church presentations from different groups. The last of our presentations is this morning, and it's Children's Church, and Julia and Sharon are going to tell us and talk to us about various things. If you want that one, you can use that one, or if you want to use that one, then
wave.
You have to use that.
And now I'm going to shout. I'll have to keep it a bit quiet. Can you hear me? I'm Julia, and I do Jam Busters with Jessica Farrell up there, who's hiding. We do month on, month off, and we work with reception year one, year two, year three. So we have, last week we had 12 children. Often we get two or three, so we never know what we're going to get each week. Because they are young, we need lots of different activities. So our activities normally take about 5-10 minutes at the most. So they normally consist of running around games, hunt the picture, all things like that. Then we'll have a time where we talk about what we've done this week. Have we had a good week? Have we had a bad week? What's gone well? Then we do a craft activity, and we normally finish with a bit of free time, but it always links in with what we're doing. So if we're doing, like last week we did about Ruth, we've been doing this month about women in the Bible, and heroines of the Bible. And last week we did Ruth. So we do Duck, Duck, Goose. We just changed the names, and it would be Naomi, 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 Ruth. So you get the idea. So this week we're doing Esther. So it'd be something similar, but different names. The children don't mind. It's a game. They love it, and they join in. We have a good story time. We'll have some questions while we're doing the story. As long as they can sit through that, then we go on and we'll do another game. I think they like it. They come back. It's probably because they're dragged each Sunday. I don't mind. But I think we all enjoy it, don't we? Miracle, you like it? Yes. So they come back, so that's great. Our aim is to give them a message of what we can do for Jesus, even when we're five or six, what we can do when we go to school, what we can do in the playground, and how the Bible is relevant in our lives today. So that's our plan, that's what we want, and that's what we hope they go home with.
Well, I think really Julia's said it all on my behalf. But there's myself, Sharon, we have Deborah and Cynthia, but I can't see Cynthia this morning. We have Mariam and we have Tolu, who also come to help. And the more help we can have, the better. So we have years 4, 5 and 6. This year. Before, it's been year 3 to 6, and that's actually quite a long time to spend 4 years in one group. So we've got 3 years now. We have between kind of 10 and probably 17, 18. We see new children all the time, which is great. Again, we follow the same syllabus, so we're developing a 3 year, I think it is. It'll be 3, maybe it'll be 4, you never know. And so it means that both groups are doing the same thing. So we think that that kind of helps when you go home as a family if you've got children in different groups. So we're looking at women of the Bible, as Julia said. Again, very similar, we try to do some games, we try to do some crafts. We're very different in our styles. So Cynthia has a very different style to me. I like active things. Cynthia can get the group really active by talking. So we're very different. But hopefully there's a style there for everyone, for the children week by week. Today we might have a little bit of food. We don't do food very often, but there is a craft involving food today. So, and they're a great bunch of young people. And as Julia says, we aim to share the good news and how that can pan out in their everyday lives as well. So thank you.
Sorry, I didn't give a shout out. It's not just Jessica and I that do it. We also have Camilla, we have Babita, and we have Sarah Clark, and we have the other Sarah, I don't know if she's here today, help. We're always looking for others. I'll do a quick plug before Stephen can take the microphone back. If you want to come and join in and see what we do, please feel free. Come and talk to us. Come and talk to Stephen. It's all great fun, but just make sure you want to be active as well.
Thank you very much. And it is trying to find ways of engaging with youngsters, with the gospel, and trying to help that to connect with them in different ways. We're going to sing a song that we know the children like. There are a lot of flags that are sat down there doing nothing. Have we got any flags up the top there? We've got some flags at the top there. So if anybody wanted to reach for a flag, this will be a good song to do it. That's it. Go on. Don't be shy. Go and grab a flag and things. We like that. Yeah, that would be very good.
Specific actions for this one. There are some specific actions in the chorus. I'm not the actions person. Do you know? Who knows the actions for Safe to Shore in my wrestling and in my doubts? Who's good at actions? Ruth's quite good at actions. If she'd like to come up. She wouldn't like to, but she will do it if we ask her nicely. And that encourages other people to join in. Okay, let's stand if we can.
I rested in my doubt, in my failure.
Thank you very much indeed for that. We have various teams doing different ministries in church life. We've got children's church team. We've got the worship team here. If anybody's interested in becoming one of our singers, then let some of us know. That will be really good. But we've also got a very small social media team. Now, I am the last person who ought to be talking about social media, because I don't know anything about social media at all. But Sarah does, and Rebecca does. They're part of our social media team. Do we want to look at the video first? Or yes? Right. We're going to look at this, and then Sarah's going to explain it to you, and then Rebecca will come with that. But let's look at this video. Welcome. It's good to see you. Just want to share with you some thoughts from a prayer that is in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul has a prayer at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, and he reminds us of the love that God has for each of us, the love that is in Jesus Christ. And he talks about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, a love that is surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And it's a wonderful prayer, and it just reminds us that we are encompassed by that love of God, held by that love of God, and it's been there with us from infancy, and it's been with us today as well. But then he goes on to talk about how this God of ours can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know what situations you're facing today, this week, in your life, but the assurance there that Paul gives us is that this God of ours can help us with those situations. He can help us in those difficult times. He can help us in those predicaments that we find ourselves in. And he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. He can help us out of those situations. He is the God of the impossible. And I know sometimes we struggle with that idea, but God is there with us, and he can do some incredible things that can just blow our minds. So this morning, if you're in a spot, if you're in a difficulty, if you're struggling to know the right way ahead, just turn to him and recognize that he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Ask him for that help. Ask him for that miracle, because he can do a miracle in your life, and it will be extraordinarily wonderful for you to be able to see what he can do for you in your situation. He's done it for others. He can do it for you. Believe him. Trust him. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. So thank you so much to Rachel for making such an amazing just video, just kind of showing everyone what we do with the media in our church. And yeah, by God's grace, we have this team, and the encouragement is, you know, anyone who has that heart for media, the skills, you know, youngsters, you know, with the permission of your parents, and if you want to be part of it as well, we would love your input, and your creative ideas, because it's so valuable. And yeah, it is to spread the gospel through media, through Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And if you have any ideas, you know, we could make reels, make, I don't know, skits, anything that's, you know, biblical, godly, and just a fun way as well, an expressive way to share the gospel. I think that would be great. It would be good to reach out to youths, reach out to anyone that might not necessarily, come to a physical church at first, but they, you know, or they might not open the Bible like willingly, but they see this reel, they see something on social media and they go, wow, like, you know, praise God. Like, I want to come to Gillingham Baptist Church, or I want to know more about Jesus. So yeah, we've, by God's grace, we've been putting a lot of effort into, you know, developing, the social media team and the work. So yeah, it's an encouragement, like any youths, anyone, everyone's young in spirit and heart. So, if there's any input, if you would want to be part of the team as well, then please do speak to Pastor or speak to, let me know or let Rebecca know, Rachel know, and we can move forward from there. So you could see, like, for example, we saw an example of Motivational Monday, and that's uploaded on Instagram and on Facebook. And it's just a way where people, you know, they might be feeling like, I don't even want to, like, you know, get up in the morning, or, like, you know, they're dreading the week ahead. But Motivation Monday was designed to, you know, encourage people so that maybe they can feel encouraged as they go on to their Mondays and then the rest of the week. And they just experience God's love and peace. And yeah, so that's like a idea, but yeah.
Good morning, church. So, according to, as what Sarah has just spoken about, we have the Monday motivation, we have the Wednesday Bible verse, and we have the fun facts. All of them are put together to just encourage us. And for the YouTube, if maybe you've listened to the message and you want to rewind, you have someone that needs the word, you can as well refer them to the YouTube channel to listen to the word of God again, and you yourself can listen and be blessed, because sometimes we miss some scriptures, we miss some word, we can easily go back and reflect again on the message. And again, we just want to mention that, please, if you are interested in the social media team, you are welcome. We want ideas. We want people to join. We want to evangelize through the social media. And I pray God Almighty bless every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, yeah, if you don't, if you miss a Sunday, then you can always find Sunday's message. It is there for us on YouTube or Facebook. So you can always go back and listen to it if you've missed something. As I say, we put out through Instagram, Facebook, we put out Motivation Monday and other things as well. So make a habit of using those social media platforms, because it is a way of just connecting in the week with all that we do. So that's brilliant. I think Sarah's going down into the Bible class. And if there's any of the Bible class who'll be interested in just doing video clips or anything like that, then talk to Sarah about that later. And next week, Rebecca will start to do some little clips. So she'll do some interviews with people. Maybe after the service, what did you think? Dangerous thing to say, mind you. Anything you want to say, and we'll do these little cameo things that we can again then upload and put there, just so that anybody outside church looking in can get a flavour, a snapshot of what we're about. So, yeah, thank you for all those who are engaged in that. If this is something you'd like to develop further, then come and have a word with one of us. We are going to take up an offering now for the work of the church here. If you are able to make a gift, that is appreciated. We recognise not everybody is. And while that is happening, I think we're going to sing. Yes, thank you.
I suggest we remain seated for this song. How deep the Father's love for us,
how it was beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for those answers to prayer that we've each received. Thank you for the way that you care for us and watch over us and guide and help us. Father, we are such fortunate people and we bless you and praise you for it. Out of the fullness of our hearts, we give you back these, our gifts. May you take, use and bless them, we pray, so that others too may come to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We ask it in his holy and precious name. Amen. Nikki, you want to say something about Bold and Beautiful?
Morning, church. For those of you who don't know what Bold and Beautiful is, Bold and Beautiful is Gillingham Baptist Church's women's ministry. And our wish is for all you beautiful women of God to become bold and beautiful for him. We usually hold two or three events a year. And our next main event isn't until Advent. And we realised at the end of the last one that there were lots of conversations going on, people making friends, and we thought we must have something in between. So we're going to have an event called B&B Connect. So this is not the big formal event that we have where we have crafts and activities and all kinds of things. This will be an informal event just for women to come along, to make new friends, to see people that they've seen before, get to know them a bit more, to share with one another. And we will have tea and coffee and cake. And at the end of this time, there will be a time of shared prayer. I think we'll have a prayer suggestion box for people who might be a bit anxious about sharing out loud, praying out loud, whatever. But it will be we will finish it with a time of prayer. I believe that's really important for us women together as we share to also pray together. It's going to be held on Saturday, the 11th of October, which is 2 weeks yesterday. And it will be from 2 until 3:30 upstairs in the upper room. So if you turn up and you have a fantastic time and you go home and say, I didn't recognise anyone, it might be that you're at the children's party in the lighthouse. So make sure that you go to the right place, to B&B Connect, upstairs in the lighthouse on the 11th. And this is for the women of our church only. When we do Bold and Beautiful, we open it up to other churches. But we feel this is important just for our women to get to know one another, to grow a bit together, to share and to eat cake. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. We often sing happy birthday to people who happen to have a birthday on a given Sunday. However, oh, he is here. Right. Mr. Hobbs, would you like to stand, please, sir? It is Mr. Hobbs's birthday today, and I don't think Martin is here, so perhaps we could sing happy it is your Wilson. Oh, right. So, we better sing happy birthday to our friends, okay? Birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
I hadn't seen you earlier, so I thought you were sort of hiding, which is what I do on my birthday. I don't, yes. We have around the balcony, as you will see, a variety of different flags from different nations celebrating our multicultural identity, which we celebrate here. I have one more flag, however, that needs... Matanga, would you like to just come and join me, please? That will be very good. Could you hold that for me? That would be splendid. And just inform everyone which national flag that is for.
Good morning, church. I'm so proud and delighted to hold the Democratic Republic of Congo flags, the DRC. which me and my family, we represent here. And we're so proud to be part of you, to join this big family of children of God. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're so glad that you've been able to come. I know Therese is probably working, I guess, today. And I know some of the children have gone back to uni, haven't they? So
some children, they've gone back to uni. But yeah. Yesterday we were celebrating another anniversary, birthday of our firstborn daughter. She turned, by God's grace, 30 years.
Ooh.
It makes me feel older than I look. So, by God's grace. Therese was meant to come, but she was a bit behind. I don't know whether she's already in here.
Oh, she there you are. There. Oh, right.
That's my wife, Therese. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. God bless. Thank you. So we will find somewhere to display this DRC banner for next week. Children are going to go to their different groups now. Youngest children downstairs with Julia. DJs in the upper room. Junior Bible class in the prayer room. Senior Bible class downstairs with Steve and Simon. And yes.
We're going to sing again, so if you'd like to stand. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? That's it. Do take a seat.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? And Lord, we come to you each week with our prayers, and so often we have a sense that nothing desperately seems to change. We pray for peace in our world. We pray for justice and righteousness. And yet we see warfare continue and injustice and unrighteousness continuing too. And Father, we can get disappointed and we can get disheartened. And yet your word encourages us to come to persist in prayer, to keep on bringing our petitions to you. And so we do that boldly this morning with confidence, praying once again for this world in which we live, that it can change, Lord, that it can be different, that it can be new. We pray, Father, that there can be peace in this world, whether it's in Gaza and Israel, whether it's in Ukraine or wherever it may be, Father, we just pray for your peace to prevail. We pray especially for that conflict there in Gaza, Lord. We just are so saddened to see the destruction of life and property, and it just doesn't seem to have an end in sight. And that war in Ukraine, Lord, it just trundles on, and we cry out to you and pray again that this war can come to a conclusion, that the Ukrainian people can reclaim their land, that something can happen to change things, Lord, that something can happen to push back the invaders. Father, we come to you, recognizing our need of you, our dependence on you, and praying once again for your help, for your intervention in these troubled spots. Please, Lord, come and do those miracles in these places. We ask and we pray. And Father, we want to lift to you this morning some of our own church family who need your help today, because they are each in need of your healing touch and power. We think of Liz Clark and we commend Liz to you. Thank you that she came through the operation well, and we pray, Lord, that she would continue to make progress. She'd grow in strength day by day, and we just commend to you and pray for your healing power at work in her life. We think of Ken Davies, still in hospital and needing your help, Lord. Help him to turn that corner. Help him to improve. Help him to be able to get back home again, and may his quality of life be enriched, we ask. For Trevor Purser, we pray that the surgery he's hoping for can happen, and we pray that that would be green-lighted this coming week. We pray for Richard Hayton, who's still not well in this new regime of medication, and we commend Richard to you and pray for your healing in his life. And we think of Maureen Jones of the Borstal Fellowship and commend Maureen to you. Pray that she'd adjust to changes that have happened in her body over this past week or so. And we pray that you would just help her to improve and recover quickly. And we think of our dear sister Donna Worsfold, who had her birthday party here yesterday. Thank you for Donna. Thank you for those who came along. Thank you for those who made it a special day for her. And we pray that you'd improve her health and strength. You'd help her to get about a little more easily. And we pray, Lord, that things would go better for Donna in this coming year. And Lord, there are many among us today, young and old alike, children and adults, who suffer with a range of mental health problems. And Father, you know all about that. And you know the trials and the tribulations. And we just cry out to you, Lord, and pray that you'd help each one of those who are wrestling with these problems. Help them, Father, we pray, with their own self-worth and their own self-image. Help to replace, to transplant those negative thoughts with positive thoughts. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you just bring health and healing and wholeness to body, mind, and spirit. Father, there are so many who we carry with us in our hearts and minds today. So many who we love and care for, and we just commend them to you. Lord, may you hear all our prayers, and may you work through and respond to all our prayers. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have two Bible readings this morning, and Anne will read those for us. Thank you, Anne.
Morning, everyone. Excuse me. Our first reading this morning is Romans chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass for condemnation for all men was condemnation for all men, I'm so sorry, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the second reading is 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven.
Thank you very much, Anne. Can we have that first picture, Marion? So, my previous church was in Derby, Pertry Road Baptist Church, and the pioneer minister of Pertry Road Baptist Church was this man, William Alfred Richards. He was the minister there between 1893 and 1916. And Mr. Richards did an excellent job. He built the congregation up under his ministry. A beautiful big building was constructed, and he did an amazing job. There are great parallels between Mr. Richards in Pertry Road, Derby, and Mr. Bloxage, who was the minister here for a longer period of time. He was here from like 1879 to a lot longer. But anyway, that's Mr. Bloxage's memorial plaque there. But he oversaw the building of this building as well, and it was good. When I did my research into the history of Pertry Road Baptist Church, The main source of information came from church meeting minutes and deacons meeting minutes, and you can go through and you can trace the stages of what happened and in all areas of church life. But the one thing I would have wanted to know, and the one thing I would have loved to have found out, was what did he preach on a Sunday? I can trace what happens to the church. I can see all the minutes and what happens. But what was he preaching Sunday by Sunday by Sunday? And we don't know, because there are no sermons. There are none of Mr. Richard's sermons left anymore. There are any of Mr. Bloxage's sermons left, as far as I know. The greatest gift anybody could ever give me would to be provide me with a suitcase. And they said, here are Mr. Richard's sermons, or here are Mr. Bloxage's sermons. It would have to be at least two suitcases for Mr. Bloxage's sermons. I would be in seventh heaven with that, just going through it and finding out what were they teaching, what were they preaching, what were they proclaiming week after week after week. The only glimpse, the only fragment that I have of what this man would preach came not from his time at Pear Tree, but he moved on from Pear Tree. He went to a church called Kirby Muxlow Baptist Church in Leicestershire. He was there from 1916 to 1928 when he died. And in one of the obituaries that was written after he died, it says this. I should have got it out. Hang on. Here we are. He says, Mr. Richards was an eloquent preacher, great in prayer and a man of faith who stood for the fundamental truths of the gospel. He taught that life means growth. There we go. That life means growth into the image of Christ himself, into his strength, into disciplined manhood and womanhood, and into the blessed peace of God. He remained with us until his death on November the 1st, 1928. Now that is the only glimpse, the only fragment of a theme thread in the ministry of William Alfred Richards. He taught that life means growth into the image of Christ himself. And I find that so intriguing. It just tantalizes me, and I would have just loved more information about what he meant by that, how he worked that out, how he implemented those ideas in his day-to-day and week-to-week ministry. But what I think he's getting at is that this Christian life is more than just a passport to heaven. What I think he's getting at is that the Christian life is not just about getting saved, but rather it is about coming to Christ and then growing into Christ. It is about allowing the life of Jesus to so inhabit our lives that we become more and more and more like Jesus. That, I think, is what he is implying and getting at, that life means growth into the image of Christ himself. And the way I want to unpack that a little bit this morning is to pick up an idea that we find in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And it's an idea that is not often preached on. It's often neglected and marginalized. Everybody's very keen on his ideas of justification. But Paul has an idea that he runs with that I think connects with what Mr. Richards was saying, and it's the idea of Jesus as the second Adam. Jesus as the second Adam. He has a go at this in the letter to the Romans. That was our first reading there, Romans chapter 5. He has another go at the idea in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, he has two nibbles at it in 1 Corinthians 15. He touches on it in verses 21 and 22 and then again in 45 to 49. But the verse that I wanted to hone in on is 1 Corinthians 15:49. I think we've got that verse there, Marion. Thank you. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Paul sees Jesus as the second Adam. We all understand the first Adam. The first Adam is there in Genesis chapter 1. Chapters 2 and 3 primarily. And we know what Adam did. Adam failed. Adam was given instructions. Adam was given a test. Adam was given something to do, and he failed to do it. The life of Adam was characterized by this blunder that he made, which we can simplify as by saying it was disobedience. This was Adam's failure. This was Adam's fall. And as a result of that one act of disobedience that Adam perpetrated, everybody else who came after Adam has been infected in some way, shape, or form. We are tarnished by the mistake of that first Adam. And the result is that we all inherit this same inclination towards disobedience. Adam is, if you like, a failed experiment. He was designed for what God had in mind. He failed, and as a result of that, that human experiment seemed to go wrong. Paul looks at this, and he looks at Jesus, and he sees Jesus as God's second attempt to get it right. He sees Jesus as the second Adam. Just as Adam's life was characterized by disobedience, the new Adam, the second Adam, Jesus, his life is characterized by obedience. He fulfilled what the Father asked of him. Jesus is the proper man. Jesus is the proper human being. He is the model that we were designed to be like. Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. And you and I are now called to be like that second Adam. We are called to be in him. This is the interesting idea that Paul is exploring there. That we should bear the image of the heavenly man, not the earthly man. Those of you who are very familiar with hymns, and old hymns, may have remembered a very old hymn by John Henry Newman, which is called Praise to the Holiest in the Height. Let me read three verses of this and you'll see where I'm going. Praise to the Holiest in the Height and in the depth be praise in all his words, most wonderful, most sure in all his ways. Verse 2, I think, have we got verse 2 there, Marion? There we are. O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. And verse 3 says, O wisest love that flesh and blood, which did in Adam fail, should strive afresh against the foe, should strive and should prevail. A second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. This is the idea that the Apostle Paul conjures with, that J.H. Newman conjures with as well. This idea that Jesus is starting humanity afresh. He's making a new beginning, a new start. Creation has a new point of origin, and it's not Adam, but it's Jesus. This is the exciting idea. And what Paul goes on to develop is this idea, this thought, that you and I, when we commit our lives to Christ, what we are doing is we are crucifying the old nature. What we are doing is we are putting to death that nature of Adam within us. We are putting that to death And through the Holy Spirit who comes into us, who gives us new life and new birth, we are, as it were, taking on the nature of Jesus, the second Adam, into ourselves. Now, we never get rid of the old Adam. We never get rid of that old nature. Sadly, it still lurks around and keeps popping its head up from time to time and keeps on spoiling us and marring us and mucking things up. And suddenly you go, blip, and you think, ah, why did I say that? It's because the old Adam is still there. But praise God, the new Adam, the second Adam, Jesus, is there within us as well, helping us to become the people that we are supposed to be. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Yes? Because you're looking a bit blank. And I'm thinking, I'm not explaining this very well. Old Adam, Adam, yes. New Adam, Jesus, new beginning, new nature, da 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 da. Okay, thank you. You're on track. Growth into the image of Christ himself. Over the years, it's been my privilege to know some wonderful Christian people. It's been my absolute delight and joy in ministry. This is one of the great privileges to get to know people. And I can think of people who have just shone for Jesus, who have just born this nature of Jesus, this second Adam, who just exude that. We had a guy in my first church, my home church, old guy called George Taylor. George Taylor was a disabled man. I'm not quite sure what level of disabilities he had, but he was physically disabled. He was cognitively impaired as well. He had a bad speech impediment, and he shuffled along, and had a walking stick. And the world would have looked at George, and they would have laughed at him. In fact, people did laugh at George. They thought he was a bit comical. They thought he was a bit of a maverick. They thought, yeah. But you spend any time with George Taylor, and those eyes, they twinkled with Jesus. The Holy Spirit was just clearly there behind that gnarled and crusted and twisted exterior. And in the life of George Taylor, there was Jesus shining through. Physically impaired, physically damaged, but there was Jesus in him. In my first church in Gloucester, we had a man, I've mentioned him before, Roger Fitzsimmons. Roger Fitzsimmons trained as an architect and could have gone places. But he committed himself to doing community projects on the council estate of Matson. And so he designed a school, he designed a community centre. He did all sorts of things to try and improve the quality of life of that desperately needy community. And then, into his 50s, he decided, you know what, I want to do something else. So he retrained as a speech therapist. And he specialised in working with people with acquired brain injuries. And he helped to set up an organisation called Headway. And they worked with people with acquired brain injuries. And he was so careful. He was so loving and so kind in the work that he did. But then in terms of his church life, Roger and Wynne, they lived in a nice posh place. And they could have gone to Upton St. Leonard's and lived happily and worshipped happily up there, but they didn't. They came into Matson and they worshipped in Matson, and they came alongside some of the needy children and adults there, and they gave themselves and invested themselves for years in this place. And again, Jesus just shone out of this man. Jesus just shone out of this man. He was beautiful to see, the way that he cared and helped people. And in my last church in Derby, Pear Tree Road, so many beautiful people there, but I think of Muriel. And Muriel, a little bit like Roger, her and her husband John, that they Muriel was a teacher. And she could have got a job anywhere within the county, but she chose to take a job at the most run-down school in the whole city. Pear Tree Infants. And it was a dive. You're lucky, David, you nearly went there. If we'd have moved to that house, you would have gone there. But anyway. But she committed a whole teaching career to this school because she wanted to commit to this multicultural community that was in Pear Tree. And in church life, she was a preacher, she was an administrator, but she ran the Bible class, the girls' Bible class, and for years she gave herself to this work and this ministry. And Muriel just, there was a joy in Muriel, there was a lightness of spirit within Muriel. Even after motor neuron disease took hold of her, there was a joy and there was a lightness in her spirit. And there was Jesus peeping through. There was Jesus peeping through. And I could go on and on and on. I could go on and on and on and give examples of men and women who have the life of Christ within them, who bear the image of the second Adam, who bear the image of the heavenly man. And one of the things that encourages me so much, people say about this Christian life, well, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's true? This Christianity that you preach, how do you know it's true? And I know it's true because I can point to George Taylor and I can point to Roger Fitzsimmons and Muriel Bacon and a shed load of you guys as well. I can point to you. And if I go, whenever we move away, I'll be able to use some of you lot as examples. But I'm not telling you which ones. But that's the evidence, that's the proof positive that this is true, it works. Because Jesus shines out of people and it's wonderful. Amen. But the thing I want to mention is that it isn't something that happens automatically. It isn't something that just happens at the instant, at the moment you come into Christian faith. When you commit your life to Jesus, when you start this Christian journey, you are literally at the beginning. You haven't got it all. When you get saved, you've started on the journey, but it's a long road and it's a long journey. This Christian life, it's a process. Yes. It's a process of growth into the image of Jesus. What's the last slide there, Marion? Yeah, just as we have borne the earthly man, so we bear the image of the heavenly man. Growth into the image of Christ himself, said Mr. Richards. That's what it's about. And it's a process. And some of us will start off this Christian life and we'll be a bit rough and ready. And some of us will start off this Christian life and we may do things and say things that don't seem very Christian. But do you know what? The more that we walk with Jesus and the more that Jesus accompanies us along the way, and the more the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the more we start to take on the qualities of Jesus himself. The more we start to resemble morally and in character the person of Jesus. And it is a process, and it can take time, and those edges sometimes need a while to be able to be polished. But if we're walking with Jesus and the Spirit is in our life and we ask him more and more to turn us into Jesus, then it'll happen. It will happen. I wish I could sing. I wish I could sing. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. Till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's what it's all about. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let's pray that. Let's seek that. Let's long to become conformed to the image of Jesus. Let's pray and let's work for Jesus to take up more and more of our lives so that we become more like him in every possible way. Well, children, I would like to give you some homework. Are you paying attention? Your homework this week is to go and read Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. The Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. I want you to go home, children, and I want you to read those passages, but I want you to read them slowly, in little bite-sized chunks each day. And pray those virtues, let's call them that, into your life. And just allow that word to soak into your spirit and soak into your innermost being. Will you do that, children? Thank you. I'm not going to test you next week. Don't worry. Oh, I might. That's a thought, isn't it? Anyway. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let's try and grow Christ in us, so that the image of the heavenly man transplants the image of the earthly man. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you that you have intervened in our journeys. Thank you that you've brought us into a knowledge of Jesus. Thank you that you have rescued us and put us on a right course. Father, may we truly grow each day into the image of Christ himself. And may the likeness and the image of the heavenly man Jesus so consume our lives that we radiate his likeness, his love, his grace, and all those qualities that he possesses. Lord, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us, that the world can see and the world will believe. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm sincerely hoping Dan is in the organ loft. About he is. Oh, well, that's good to know. Because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to sing our final hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. Shall we stand and sing together? Keith, where's Keith? Keith, did Keith want to... he's gone. Oh, well, he can't give a notice then. Right, that's easy. There is tea and coffee downstairs. Please do stay for that if you're able to. Prayer ministry here. The guys will be very happy to pray with you about anything at all. Helen is very anxious to get hold of any of the door stewards who have not yet caught up with her about an update on fire marshal training. So if you haven't been on one of these sessions with Helen this month, then please do go and have a word with her. Wednesday night, we've got Bible study at 7:30 downstairs in the Lighthouse. In the Lighthouse on Thursday morning, it is Good News at 10, our Bible study for about an hour. You'd be welcome to join us. Next Sunday, 5th of August, October, it's harvest. We are having a food collection for Medway Food Bank. If you can have a look through your cupboards and decide what you want to give away, or if you're going shopping this week, get a few extra things, bring them in. We'll have a display here on the stage, and then Food Bank will collect that a couple of days later. It's part of our harvest celebration and our thankfulness to God. In the newsletter, various things that you'll see there. There is information about Bold and Beautiful. Nikki reminds me there is a sign-up sheet if you want to come to the cake and prayer thing. That's there. Don't get it wrong, because there also is a men's breakfast, a strong, courageous... You see, not to be outdone by the women in the cake... We've got a breakfast that the guys have got. What is it, 1st of November, something like that? It's a Saturday morning anyway. So there's the guys on one side and the ladies on the other, so sign the right sheet. There is also, in the newsletter, there is information about leadership team elections. It's that time of the year we're starting that cycle. Leadership packs are available. If there's anybody you think would make a good deacon or elder, then please do approach them, have a word with them, see if they'd be willing to stand. There are proper nomination forms to fill in for those who are willing to serve in that capacity. And we've got the whole of October, or most of October, to get in as many nominations as possible. But it tells you on the in the news sheet who the existing leaders are, whose term of office is coming to an end, but also the space for new people to come on the leadership team as well. That's it. Let's pray. Lord, bless you for your goodness to us. Thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Thank you for Jesus, who is the Saviour of the world. Thank you for Jesus, who is the second Adam. Thank you that he makes that new beginning in the world and in us. Lord, may each of us be changed from one degree of glory into another, until in heaven we take our place with you. Work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Change us into the likeness of Jesus day by day. And as we go into this coming week, may your Spirit strengthen us, guide us and lead us, and shape us, we pray. May we know your blessing and your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless. Tea and coffee downstairs. Prayer ministry here. Have a great week. Cheers.